chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. I could have preached out of Matthew chapter 8. It's the same verse, but I chose Luke because Luke is a doctor, and I like preaching out of Luke. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. What an awesome 10 verses. Stay with me. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. I've read where Jesus said that some folks had no faith. Some folks had little faith. Some folks had faith of a mustard seed. But you said this centurion had great faith. Father God, we want our faith to increase. We want to have stronger faith. We want to have great faith. The centurion servant, Father God, gives us a recipe for having great faith. It's Thanksgiving Day time of the year, and we get all these different recipes. But here's a recipe for great faith found in the centurion. Father God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And how many want great faith? How many want greater faith? How many want stronger faith?
Amen.
How many want faith right now? I just need faith right now.
Amen.
Look at this text. How many of you know Capernaum? When you hear the word Capernaum, we ought to think about Jesus' headquarters. That's where Jesus did most of his work. That's where he rested at. That's where he came for comfort. Peter lived in Capernaum. We know Jesus did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. Capernaum had a reputation, the name City of Comfort. I don't believe it had that name that Jesus came. A field of repentance, a city of comfort. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum. Jesus healed the man with the withered hand in Capernaum. How many know in Capernaum we found a woman with the issue of blood? And she came to Jesus in Capernaum. And she came to Jesus, and Jesus told her that her faith had made her whole. Okay? Jairus' daughter was healed in Capernaum. The two stories run together. How many know this? When I talk about Capernaum being a city where great faith was on display, The four men that brought their friend, a paralytic, and they couldn't get in the door, they couldn't get in the windows, they climbed up to the roof and came through and dropped the man at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said to the four, he says to the four, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. And he not only healed the man, but he forgave him of his sin. So we see these great stories happening in the city of Capernaum. But the one I left out was the sick servant that we're going to study this morning. The sick servant was healed in Capernaum. Let me look at the text again. It says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Jesus was a teacher. He was on a preaching mission. He preached and he preached and he preached, and he had finished preaching and he was coming home on his way to possibly be for a little relaxation, just a rest, maybe be around his friends, his other disciples, and share with them. But he was met on the road, and it says a certain centurion servant. The servant was sick, who was dear unto him and was sick and ready to die. Matthew's reading of this said he was sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. Now I look at it as he was a servant of this great centurion that had great faith. He had to be a man of God. He had to be possibly a servant that led this centurion to Christ. How many remember the person who spoke truth into your soul? How many remember the person who spoke to you and convinced you of your need of a Savior? Your need to be born again, to receive the Holy Spirit, to come to the Lord through faith. How many of us remember that man or woman who was responsible for you? That person ought to be someone dear to you. That person done some real soul winning that day. And if you have a struggle there remembering, hopefully I can be that person if you sit here. Because people need to hear the word of God. People need the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Churches are full of folks who haven't been led to the Lord. And this is why we dumb down the pastors and the deacons. There was a time where the deacons taught and led folks to the Lord, and a man of God in a pulpit was deserving of his call because he preached the gospel and folks was getting saved. Uh-huh. Now we preach the gospel for folks to join the church.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference. And many of you have experienced, you've been to churches and they spend more time on the altar call than they do on preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
People need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
This certain centurion's servant was dear unto him. And most likely because he talked to him about the things of God. He shared with him about his relationship with God and his testimony that he was a man of God, because the centurion was a man of God. And let me say this, men of God hang around men of God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Men of God, women of God hang around men and women of God.
Amen.
And we hang around folks watching TV. You hanging around folks when you're on social media. You hanging around folks when you... Y'all get the drift.
Amen.
But a man of God, a woman of God, going to have some folks around them that's dear to them. Why? Because we're going to talk about the things of God. Your best friend ought to be someone who you shall talk to about the things of God. Your best friend If you have someone in your life that's dear to you and doesn't share your faith. Now, I sit here and listen to people talk all the time. Well, can a Muslim and a Christian marry? No!
Amen.
Why? What are you going to talk about? Because to the Christian, Jesus is everything.
Amen.
How can you marry someone who don't share that? How can your best friend be someone who don't share your relationship with Jesus? I know this may sound foreign. But this servant centurion, he had a servant who was dear unto him. Now let me talk about a centurion. First of all, he would have been a Roman. Okay? A centurion would have been a Roman soldier. Okay? And Roman soldiers did not love the things of God. They did not love the God of the Jews. The Jews was in captivity by the Romans. Okay? Now listen. God can save whoever you want to save. Okay? We know that a centurion was at the foot of the cross. And it was the centurion that said, surely, truly, this is or was the Son of God. Okay? A centurion would have been a soldier over at least 100 men. Okay? And if you know military men like the soldiers in the Roman soldiers, they could care less about the people of God. This one got saved. This one was saved. This centurion was saved. And I just believe that this servant who was dear unto him had to share with him. Watch what it says. This servant was dear unto him and was sick and ready to die. Let me tell you something, folks. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul struggled. Paul struggled. We read in Philippians, Paul said, I'm ready to die. Paul said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. But it is better for me if I stay. And continue to preach with you. I see some of that in this text. This man was sick. The Bible says he was sick and ready to die. Now, some of you may take it like he was ready to die. He was on his deathbed. He was, you know, they come in and they told him, the doctor said, all right, there's nothing else we can do. And you may look at it like that. And there's nothing wrong with looking at it like that. Okay? Somebody know where I'm going with this. Okay? And if the centurion was saved and had the greatest faith in all of Israel, and this was his servant that was dear to him, this servant had to know Jesus. Okay? Now, listen. Everybody that truly knows Jesus realize one day they're going to get sick. And it behooves them to be ready to die. Now, I may be ready to die, but Cindy may not be ready for me to die. Okay? Okay? You may be ready to die, or your partner may say, I'm ready to die, but you may say, I'm not ready for you to die. And that's normal. Now, that's understandable. I understand that. Okay? I already told Cindy, you know, you're not dying on me. Okay? But I say that in jest because I know one day. Okay? It's appointed unto man. Thank you, Brother Jeremy. It's appointed unto man wants to die and after that's the judgment. See, this is why I read in ready to die because he knows. Now watch this. He didn't want his servant to die. He didn't want his servant to die. His servant was dear to him. His servant probably was feeding him. Probably was his strength. Probably was somebody he could confide in and talk to. And so he was out. He was in a situation of desperation. I don't want my servant to die. What can I do? Now, most likely, this servant will talk to him about Jesus. Okay? This Roman centurion probably knew what was going on in Jesus' day. Everybody knew what was going on in Jesus' day. And what Jesus was doing wasn't no secret. Okay? What he was doing was not a secret. He wasn't an undercover healer, an undercover casting out demons. He wasn't undercover healing lepers and raising folks from the dead. He wasn't doing it in secret. He was letting the whole world know that God was on the scene. Okay? He was letting everybody know that God was walking this earth doing only things that God could do.
Amen.
See, that's what I'm saying. With the pranksters, I call them pranksters. That's what they are. And you listen to Paul, well, I got the gift of healing and I'm an apostle. Let me stop it, okay? Because let me tell y'all something, and I know many of y'all are going through right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear no prankster. I don't want nobody, you know, I got the gift of healing. Nobody. Stop it. God had given Jesus and the apostles the gift of healing to basically authenticate who they were. These are men of God. Even the demon-possessed woman knew that. These are men of God. Nobody, apostle, come visit you at the hospital. And you on your deathbed and leave and you still on your deathbed. That's not no apostle. Well, an apostle came and visited her. Listen, the apostle did not come and visit. And she's still here in this hospital with these tubes in her.
Amen. Amen.
I want to hear it. Y'all don't need to hear it. Let me tell y'all something, church folks. We got to wise up.
Amen.
Okay? Wise up. Now, watch this now. Let me get off that. I get on that little hobby horse too much. And when he heard of Jesus, what did he hear? He heard that he healed. Mm-hmm. He heard that he was a healer. He heard that he was a deliverer. And where did he hear this from? Most likely his dear servant. He heard that he was on a healing mission. Jesus healed a whole lot of folks. Now, somewhere in my notes, there's at least 37 miracles. I'm not going through all 37. But we know Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus healed many sick and oppressed. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus drove out an evil spirit from a man at Capernaum. How about that? Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Jesus cast the demons out of a man and sent him into a hall. Now, how did he do this? He did it with a word. Did it with a touch. Okay? He did. He healed a lot of ways. Let's go back to our text. I can just go right down the text. Watch this. And when he heard of Jesus, he understood who Jesus was. He heard of Jesus. This was the right Jesus. Remember, blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the highway, and he was her Lord, son, Jesus, son of David. He made sure he had the right Jesus. See, a whole lot of fakes. There have been fake preachers that started today, this day and age. No, there have been fakes all along the way. Okay? Yeah. You know, folks love miracles and healing services and all that kind of stuff. And it's popular. It drew crowds then, and folks use it now to draw crowds. Only problem is, when the Jesus crowds, everybody went home healed. These crowds here, everybody go home a little, about $100 lighter. Listen. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that they would come and heal his servant. How about that? Now they're coming on behalf of the centurion. And this is an odd statement here, because usually Jews don't have nothing to do with Roman soldiers. Okay? They don't have, they don't do it with Roman soldiers, but this Roman soldier was different. This centurion was different, and the Jews, like the preachers of the day, they like that money. Okay? They like money. Okay? And money will get you somewhere in church. All right? Now, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but they come and they base it in their relationship with this man. And the reason he was worthy is because of what he has done. And we know what Paul says, what? For by grace are you saved. Through faith and not yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works. Okay? Okay? Stay with me, folks. And they came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly. Instantly. Watch this now. Saying that he is worthy. Let me tell you something, folks. There's none of us worthy. Okay? Now I'm a little ahead of the story, but ain't none of us worthy. See, some of us think we're worthy. Okay? But there's none of us worthy. See, I know many of us think we're worthy, and myself too. So we get upset when things don't go our way. We get upset when our car don't start. Like, why? How many of us in here have ever said, why me? Yeah, you right, Matthew. Why not you? Because, see, we think we're worthy. Okay? And they came to this man, to Jesus, this the man of God, said that he is worthy for whom he should do this. What did they base it on? They never mentioned his faith. Watch this now. Watch this now. For he loveth our nation. He loved God. He loved God's people. And this is nothing wrong with this. He loved our nation. Let me tell you something. You guys all love God's nation too. You all love the people of God. Why? Because you're children of God. Children of God love people of God. Children of God love being around the people of God. Children of God love God's people. Love God's nation. What's he saying when he said he loved our nation? He loved the people of God. He loved the people that God loved. Okay? So you say you love God and don't love the people that God loved. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? And he backed it up even more. Watch what he says here. And he have built us a synagogue. Now, I'm not going to lay on this one real hard. But he used his resources. He used his strength and his people and his finances and everything he had. And he backed it up. He backed up his love for the people of God. And he said, he had built us a place to worship. He has built us a place to worship. A place where we can go and study and learn. Why? Most likely because it was important to him. See, Christians who don't value studying and learning and praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord. Listen, you have to question it.
Amen.
Okay? He loved the Lord and he backed it up with his life. See, we want healing, we want this, we want to be delivered, we want healing, we want a blessing, but we ain't giving God nothing. Okay, we're not giving God nothing. And we want God to touch us and heal us and deliver us and bless us. And we want financial security, we want a new job, we want everything from God. But we don't give God nothing. See, we got the Santa Claus God. See, we got the Santa Claus God. We said, well, God, you know, well, I've been good. And I need some things for you. Satan Claus. Naughty or not. Like God, well, listen, come, you just whatever you want, you just be good and I'll give it to you. Just, we say by what? Somebody say it, grace. Grace. Saved by grace. He loved our nation. He loved people of God. Ask yourself that. Then Jesus went with them. This is when it gets good. And Jesus went with them. He's on his way. He's walking with these elders to meet this man, whom they say is a Roman centurion that loves our nation and have built us a synagogue. Maybe Jesus said, well, I want to see the synagogue. He's walking with these folks. And Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, he close. The centurion sent friends to him. Wait a minute now. First it's the elders. Okay? And the elders is all about stuff. Okay? Y'all ever look at that one verse? Matthew 7. Watch this now. You look at this verse, Matthew 7 and 21. Because that's not where Jesus is at. You know, he's not feeling the elders, okay? The elders are not getting a response from Jesus. Okay? Because, you know, well, he done this, he done that, and you know what? When I came in the parking lot today, there was a beer can in the driveway, and I got out of the car and picked it up, and I threw it in the woods. I didn't throw it far enough in there, so you probably can still see it, but I didn't want to go in there and mess my shoes up. But see, we think we get somewhere with little stuff we do. Somebody said, you know, well, I did this. And like I said, you go to a lot of churches and they got a name tag on every bench and you got names all over the place. You know, look at Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone has said to me, Lord, Lord. Now, I've read this verse for many years and I hope you guys get some clarity out of it today. Because this verse brought something out. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth my will, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Watch this now. And many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, preached the gospel in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils. What do you see here? Okay? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's the problem? What's the problem? You know, they done all these works and they preaching and they casting out devils and they doing wonderful works. And Jesus is saying, I never knew you. What's the problem here? Okay? They're doing this on their own strength. Okay? It's convenient for them to do. And Jesus, I never knew you. I talked about this morning in Sunday school and my relationship with my wife, and some of you guys have been married for years and years. That person knows you. And if you have a good marriage or a good relationship with someone, you're gonna call them and talk to them. My heart goes out when I hear on the news. You ever hear on the news somebody they found in an apartment building and they've been dead for a week and 2 weeks? And I'm sitting here like, how's that happen? I know how it happened. That person didn't communicate with nobody. Okay? They don't have a relationship with anybody. And God is saying, I never knew you. Whew. Did God know you? That would be the question. Am I intimate with God? Am I in the right relationship with the Lord? Jesus is demanding that from us. That we know him, that we spend time with him, that we share with him, that we confess our sins. One of the most intimate ways that you can be with Jesus, when you go to him in confession and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm dealing with this thing. Help me with it. Give me strength to deal with it. Give me strength to overcome it. And when God gives you that strength, guess what? They have more respect for God. More love for God. If you really want to deal with that thing. Most of us in here, we got sins that we enjoy. We don't want to let go. We don't want God to deal with it. We say, you know what, God, I'll just deal with some other stuff, but don't deal with this. I find comfort in this. I find pleasure in this. I find joy in this. Then Jesus went with him, verse 6. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends. I like that word, friends. I like that word, friends, better than when he sent the elders, because he's not sending friends. Okay? Now, see, we overplay that word, friends, don't we? You talk to your kids, and you know, when Ariana and Ella get a little older, they go to school. I got all these friends in school. See, once you get a certain age, you realize, okay, you only got a handful. If you got a handful, you got a lot. Okay, if you got a handful, you got a lot. If you got a couple, you're doing good. Okay, but he the Word of God says he sent his friends. What's it mean? People that are close to him, people that are intimate with him, people that know him. Don't use our Western definition of friends. Okay? Okay. See, we be on social media and I look on there. Man, there's people on Twitter got 1.5 million friends. That's the key. There's a difference between a friend and a follower. I thank you for whoever said that. There's a difference between a friend and a follower. He sent out his friends that knew him, knew his heart. He didn't come. He had so much respect for Jesus that he didn't come. He had so much respect for Jesus because he knew a Jew would not enter a house of a Gentile without being defiled. He had that much respect for Jesus. This man knew Jesus. Whoever was teaching this man, I believe it was his servant and his friends. This man loved his servants because people who preach truth in your life, you are love.
Yeah.
You are love.
Yeah.
You are love truth. You are love the preachers of truth. Okay? Because, see, the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. See, lying is only going to keep you in bondage. And if folks tell you, well, don't take all that. You don't have to believe in the resurrection. You don't have to believe in the death, the virgin birth. Let me tell you something, folks. Didn't that preach the truth to you? In 2 Corinthians 11, it says Satan has his ministers. That's what the Bible said, people. Satan has his ministers who disguise themselves as what? Angels are lying. They're gonna make it sound good. Okay? You ever see all the women preachers on TV, all the women evangelists on TV? You ever seen a big old greasy one? Huh? No, there's a qualification. You gotta be beautiful. Nobody amen me. Thanks, Dave. I sit here. Sometimes I watch infra commercials. I watch on TV. They try to get you to watch this stuff. And then they press out these two females all dolled all up. Trying to sell you something.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same business philosophy. You know? Rarely you gonna see these preachers, these prosperity preachers, they be sharp. Okay? They think it's easy on the eyes. And they talking. And the congregation just full of women. Get off of that. Come back. Too good a text. He says, the centurion sent his friends. Saying unto him, Lord, how about that? Did the elders say Lord? When the elders came, did the elders say Lord? Okay? See, when he heard of Jesus, he sent to the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come. Never addressed him as Lord. Okay? But when his friends came, those that were dear to him, when they came, they said, Lord, first thing out of their mouth, how about that? Lord. Remember the two thieves on the cross? And the one thief, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and save us. And the other, said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Is he Lord to you? Is he Lord to you? If you were sick on your deathbed and you send your best friends to see Jesus, would they call him Lord on your behalf? Based on your relationship with him, would they say, Lord to Jesus? Or would they come like, hey, my buddy's sick and he, you know, he's been tied and he was over the pastor anniversary and he was over the church parking lot committee and they, you know, he was a trustee and he was the first one at church and left. You need to be, see? That's Santa Claus God. I did all this stuff so I deserve this. You don't deserve nothing no matter how much you do, you don't deserve nothing. Okay? You don't deserve anything. Well, that's hard for us to take in. Well, we want a pat on the back. We want to be paid. You know, you go to some churches and you can't even run a church because everybody getting paid. How long ago you remember? They just wanted to play. They just wanted to play. It was just something they wanted to do. You go to them old Methodist churches and a little old lady on the piano. She's 90 years old on the piano. She was playing all her life. They never took a dime. Now you get a musician in. They want $400, $600 a week. Church got 50 members. They want $500 a week. Everybody in the church don't fix their income. And I'm going to play two songs. They show up late for choir rehearsal, fall asleep while you're sitting while the preacher preaching, and then walk out of the hallway. You got to call them in. Where we at? And he says, trouble not. He said, Lord, trouble not thyself. Don't inconvenience yourself. Now we get to the, this is the centurion speaking through his friends. The centurion is speaking through his friends. He's told his friends what to say. Okay? See, the elders came and said he's worthy because he built a synagogue and he gave us a lot of money and all that. But he's saying now through his friends. I'm talking about great faith. I ain't talking about this faith, worldly faith. Okay? So you can be a man of faith. I can go to a church and give him $500 a week and never show up and have my funeral and say he's a great man of faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was great. Because I gave him some money. Watch this now. He says, trouble not thyself. Okay? Go ahead and turn our own around. For I am not worthy. How about that? For I am not worthy. Wait a minute. You built a whole synagogue, bro. You built a whole synagogue. It ought to be called Neville's Temple. I mean, the Centurion Temple. You built this thing. You put your name on it. The house of the centurion. If I built it, put my name on it. Y'all see what I'm saying? I know y'all, Pastor, you overboard. I don't know. This is, okay? He said, I'm not worthy, but he built a temple. Claire want to put a steeple on the top of the church here. But I know that. We want to put a temple on the church. I want to do it too. We want to put a temple on the church, but we're not going to put a name on it. This man has done great things physically and financially for this church. For the Jewish people. And look what he says. I am not worthy that thou should enter unto my roof. How about that? How about that? Now this is the making of great faith. Okay? What's the first thing you see? The makings of great faith. What do you see? What do you see? You see humility. The humility. The Bible says, humble thyself. Okay? The humble thyself. You gotta look hard in the church to see humility. Okay? You gotta look hard in the church to see humility. Not only you see the humility of this man. I'm gonna keep going. Keep going, preacher. Where did I stop? Verse 7. He said, thou shouldn't come under my roof. We already said that. It was a Jew. Jew would not go into the house of a Gentile. It was just, they would be considered contaminated. Okay? Jesus kissed lepers. Okay? Jesus touched the leper. They watched when he touched the leper because the leper was unclean. Jesus could touch anybody he wanted to touch. He could go wherever he wanted to go. Because he was God. He was Lord. He was God. But this centurion had that much respect for Jesus. Let me tell you something. Great faith has great respect for Jesus. Okay? You want to have great faith? You got to have great respect for Jesus. Great respect for the things of God. What did John the Baptist say? And this is what Jesus said about John. Among men born of women, the none greater than John the Baptist. And what did John say? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. See, the closer you get to Jesus, the smaller you get. And how twisted it is. See, we can live in a world where the closer you get to Jesus, the bigger you get, the more he going to bless you, the more he going to give you, the bigger you will get, the bigger house, the bigger car, the bigger this, the bigger that. And John the Baptist says, I must decrease. And he said, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. Just going to have a text in front of me. Y'all know what I mean, though. See, what's that a picture of? Humility. Don't want to have great faith? You better have great humility. See? Some of us too proud. You have great faith. See, we like Tina Turner faith. Proud Mary. She's proud of that body. She done got a mini skirt on it. Shake. Shaking. Still shaking. 75 years old. Still shaking. But if she gets to Jesus, she gonna take on something long and cover up when she comes to the Lord. Okay. See, you'll know when somebody comes to the Lord. I'm gonna tell you something here. To go, Snoop Dogg is born again. I'm gonna tell you something, folks. Okay? Now, if y'all sitting here, Snoop, who are you to judge? Now, listen, you know him by their fruit.
Amen.
Okay? Snoop Dogg ain't saying, how do you know? I'm just telling you, you know him by their fruit. Saul was Saul before he got saved. He changed his name back to Paul. And Snoop Dogg was saved. He was saying, look, I ain't Snoop Dogg no more. I'm Calvin Broaddus, whatever his name is. Okay? He wouldn't be wearing upside down pyramids and all that. He wouldn't be wearing, throwing the signs and stuff, singing and throwing demonic signs. Okay? And folks don't even see. Well, you know, church, we got to accept everybody. Let me tell you something. Okay? Yeah. Okay, I'm enough stupid, though. See, we just open the door. Hey, whatever. Come on in. Oh, you saying? Come on in. Sit down and listen for a little while. What's it mean to be born again? Anybody know? What's it mean to be born again? See, somebody asked me, well, I've been born again. What's that mean? You don't have a problem. Ask the student, God, you say you've been born again. What's that mean?
Uh-huh.
Okay? What message was preached to you? Who preached that message to you? See, we got to be a little more discerning.
Amen.
Because I want Snoop Dogg to be saved. I love to see Snoop Dogg saved, all of them. Yep. MC Light, MC Hammer, MC this, little Bow Wow, little Dog, little whatever, little Wayne. I want to see little Wayne sing. Okay? Save them all. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I want them all saved. Okay? But amen, they got to hear the Word of God. Faith coming. And hearing by the Word of God ain't going to make you saved. Well, come on, talk to me. Either you saved, well, talk to me about John 3:16. And you sing, Amazing Grace. We want everybody saved. And then you won't believe Snoop Dogg can be saved. Listen, Snoop Dogg can be saved. How do I know? Because I was saved.
Amen.
Okay? And I know Snoop Dogg can be saved. I was saved.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, listen, you go, listen, there's evidences of salvation.
Amen.
That's all. And the church don't like to hear that because a lot of church folks don't have no evidences of it. You see, well, we don't want everybody welcome here. Everybody welcome. What is church?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not this building. I was the first one here. Wasn't no church going on until I got here. When I came, church came. Okay? When I showed up, church showed up. Because without me being in here, without Matthew being in here, without y'all being here, this ain't nothing but a building.
Amen.
In the world, say, oh, there's a church over there, but without no folks in it. What is it? There's a church up there, up the street. Turned into a paint shop. There's a church downtown. They turned into a brewery. Okay, and I'm sitting here like, there's a church over there by C Staple. They turned into a parking lot. See? So when we have Thanksgiving Day dinner at our house, they come to church and say, ain't nobody signing up. Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, ain't nobody signing up to come over, you know. It's just the truth.
Amen.
And you take it with you. If you ain't taking your church home with you, then it ain't the real thing. Don't leave it here.
Amen.
Folk leave their Bible here, be here, you know, be here 2 months. I can't buy my Bible. I left it at church. You know, I'll be in Walmart parking. I see the Bible in the windshield. There it is, curled all up. It's like curled all up. I'm like, get that Bible out the window. Help me, people. He said, Paul, the Word of God says, wherefore, neither I thought myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about great faith. Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Let me tell you something. Y'all don't say what y'all want to say about the centurion. This man knew the scriptures. See, you can't have great faith without knowing the scriptures, okay? I'm looking for this verse. I'm going to find it. I'm looking for this verse. He said, speak a word. What do you know? He didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do that. When the Syrophoenician woman came and he told his mother, go home, your daughter's healed. Okay? Okay? Yeah, speak nothing. He can't speak nothing. He said, speak a word. And my servant will be healed. Listen. Where did he get that from? His friends. You know, Psalms 107:20 says this. Watch this now. Now they're close to the house. He's on the way to the house. He stopped him and said, Just speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Look at Psalm 107:20. Watch this now. You know what God loves most from his people? When you know the Word of God. When you send back his word to him, when you tell God, when in your prayers, when you pray God's word back to him, God responds to that. Psalm 107:20 says, and he sent his word. and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Okay? Psalm 147, 15. And he sent forth his commandments upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. His word runneth very swiftly. This man has some faith. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what he could do. He knew what he can do. We know this verse here all the time. I know this is one of our favorite verses. He said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. This man said, just speak a word. Okay? Just speak a word. Just do it. Just do it, Jesus. You know, now watch him contrast his life with Jesus. Now, he's not sitting here saying, well, Jesus, you're just like me. But if God is our Father, how many remember back in the day we was putting braces on? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? See, the things God hate, we ought to hate. See, the things God hate, we ought to hate. And we God's children. So, you know, you say I'm a child of God. If God say I hate it, you ought to hate it. That's it, right? In Deuteronomy 22:5, where it says, a woman ought not wear the clothes of the apparel of a man, and a man ought not wear the clothes of a woman. All who do so is an abomination unto God. Now, if it's an abomination unto God, ought it be an abomination unto his children?
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And that word all mean one. All entertainers, all comedians, all actors. No man ought to be putting on men clothing or women clothing. And if they do, the people of God ought not be watching that.
Amen.
I don't want to watch no 6'4" brother putting on pantyhose and pumps and we think that's funny. And to your son or grandson come home and say, look, I'm putting on pantyhose and pumps and wigs. To be God's children. And what offends God ought to offend us.
Amen.
And this man is saying, God, I'm a man just like you. I'm under authority. I'm under authority just like you. Have it unto me, soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. No back talk. No back talk. See? Do this and he do it. What are you talking about? And Jesus told the wind to stop blowing. And I guarantee you that wind stopped instantly. And he says to the sea, he said, peace be still. And I'm sure it went from rocky, five foot waves instantly. Calm. See, this man knows nothing about God. He wasn't here talking about himself. He said, I'm a man under authority, set under authority like you. You can tell the wind to stop blowing. You can tell the waves to stop waving. You can tell disease to leave a body. And you can tell Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
Come on. This man, and watch this now. Watch this now. Don't miss this. And when Jesus heard these things, I'm almost done. I get all fired up. And then when Jesus understood what this man was saying, he marveled at him. He marveled at him. He marveled at him. He was amazed by him. He was amazed by him. You want to have great faith? If you get some great faith, you're going to amaze God. You're going to amaze God. Oh, somebody that ought to be on your bucket list. Amaze God. I want to amaze God one time. I want to do something amazing. See, we want to do something amazing for the world. Let me get a pat on the back. Oh, man. Pat on the back. I want God to give me a pat on the back.
Amen.
I want God to give me a boot in the butt. I never knew you. You never amazed me. Get out of here. You was all about yourself. You didn't care about nobody. This centurion cared about the people of God. He cared about the nation of Israel. He cared about people. He cared about Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to be contaminated. He said, don't even come to my house. Because he cared. And when Jesus heard that thing, he marveled at him. And turned him about. Watch this now. This is Jesus turning around. Who's following him? The Jewish leaders and the elders and all the Jews, they following him. And they didn't have their little bar mitzvahs, and they didn't jump over there, and they didn't have their little wine party. They've been learning the Bible all their lives. All their lives they've been learning the Bible. A little Jew learning the Bible all their life. They still don't believe what this centurion believed. And this centurion, we don't know how long he's been saved. We don't know how long he knew God, but Jesus turned to the, and said unto the people that followed him. Somebody said that. Somebody never said, you know, there's between a friend and a follower. Okay? These were followers. That's why in John 6, when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. I must mean everything to you. The Bible says they turned and followed him no more, saying, that's a hard saying. Who could do it? Now Jesus is talking to this same crowd that followed him. He's going to check them. See, we got this all on Jesus. He's so weak, he ain't gonna check nobody. The Jesus I serve will check you. Okay? The Jesus I serve is bad and militant, rough and tough. Okay? Now the Jesus of the Word of Faith moving him, he's so soft and he's like a jumbo Santa Claus. No. That ain't the Jesus of heaven. Okay? See, when he come back, he's not coming back. In swaddling clothes, I hope y'all know this.
Amen.
Okay? Y'all ain't spitting on him when he come back. And we're not putting a crown of thorns on his head when he come back. We're not putting a stick in his hand and a purple robe on it when he come back. We're not doing that. Okay? Okay? When he come back, he's not coming back like that. He's coming back in a flaming fire. Okay? And he coming back for his own. And he come back on his own. He says this, and he turned to the people who follow him. I like this part as I close. And say unto you, he said, I say unto you, you who should know better, who should know just as much, if not more than this centurion, you who don't know nothing about me, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Not in Israel. Among God's chosen people, people who knew he was coming, knew how he was coming, who knew when he was coming, what day he was coming, what he was going to do, when he was going to come, and how he was going to do it. They knew the very day he would get on Calvary's cross and die for the sins of the world. They knew it. And he says, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And they that were sent, his friends, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick, whole, healthy, no prescriptions. Okay? He didn't have to go to Rite Aid. He didn't have to go to Walgreens. He didn't have to go to Borman's medical supply and for nothing.
Amen.
He was whole.
Amen.
He was whole. And what did Jesus do? He didn't speak a word or nothing. He didn't say nothing. He called that man great faith. Jesus talked about people with no faith. He talked about little faith. This man had great faith. Maybe next week I'll talk about little faith. I want to get great faith. I want y'all to have great faith. Somebody said, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know, great faith come with a cost. Yes, it do. It come with a cost. You're going to pay for great faith. Remember this, though, folks. Is that close? This is what you signed up for. Jesus was Isaiah 53. He's a man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. See, we don't want no grief. We don't want no pain. We don't want no sorrow. We just want fun all the time. Happy all the time. We want the car to start every day. We want to feel good every day. Understand who you follow. Understand who your God is. If our God suffered, and walk this earth, we're going to suffer a little bit. We're going to suffer a little bit. God is good.